The organizing principle for my sermon today, I guess, could best be called chaotic. But I will share a few things over the adult English Sunday School class has experienced over the last few months, and perhaps that's an organizing principle. I do want to say that I have been struck by a number of things. The coffee house last Friday, and the way many of you, including the music worship team and our orchestra today, and our ushers for that matter, participate in the life of the church. It is very important that we each participate in a way that God calls us to. And God calls us in a variety of very different ways of serving Him and knowing Him and testifying of Him. But surely He calls each one of us in some important and ultimately very vital way. So I will be sharing some of what the English Sunday School, adult English Sunday School class has been experiencing over the last few months. And so I'm going to go all the way back to our approach to fundamental doctrine, sort of symbolized by the Apostles' Creed. This is what we believe. You'll see it up on the screen, or wall actually, and I'll read it to you. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is an early testimony of the church. Grew out of a confession that was used in baptism. Not unlike the sorts of confession, although we give sort of a, you might say, a wider berth to each one giving a testimony at baptism, but fundamentally, we proclaim the truths of the gospel before baptism, and ultimately that is what the church is for. I'm only going to mention one thing which seems to cause consternation sometimes in Protestant churches, and that is the line that says the Holy Catholic Church. Catholic is an adjective which means universal. And I'm going to show you another version of the Apostles' Creed where the term one holy church is used. And that's simply the meaning there, that there is one church of which all of us are members if we know Christ. And that is an important and fundamental teaching. And sometimes the word Catholic causes some Protestants a little bit of consternation. So understand that it doesn't mean anything more than that we should be one church. Of course, that means quite a bit in and of itself. But what I'd like to do is share with you another version of the Apostles' Creed, and this is from YouTube. So if we can have Chris Mullen's Creed.
Thank you. the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth. And then Jesus Christ is only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and then buried. And I believe what I believe. It's what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God, not the invention of Almighty Man.
Some of you, if you look in the under the seat in front of you, you'll find a hymnal. Now, maybe not too many hymnals are out there. I see one. So here's one. This is a hymnal that the church has had since before most of you were born, actually. And if you look in the at the back cover, guess what's there? The Apostles' Creed. in both English and Chinese. I'm not going to try to read the Chinese to you. And most of you probably weren't aware of that. Now, that's okay. In some sense, the Apostles' Creed is not Scripture, but it accumulates from Scripture a proclamation the Church has widely adopted as our understanding and expression of Scripture. And of those crucial truths which we find in Scripture, which we are called to both believe and to proclaim. Now, I pointed out that you've lived, many of you have lived with the Apostles' Creed at your very fingertips for much of your life, perhaps without being aware of it, because what's important here? It's sort of the chorus of the song we just heard. So if we can have the next slide. We have this very simple chorus, which is actually, at least to my thinking, very profound. The first statement is a statement which we actually discussed extensively in Sunday school today, and that is what makes us who we are. And the statement of the songwriter here is, "And I believe what I believe is what makes me what I am." It certainly reflects the expression in Scripture that our faith is crucial in defining who we are. In the modern age, the next line is crucially important. "I did not make it." No, it is progressive tense, making me. There are theologians, so-called theologians, who seem to be in the business of defining what they think would be good about God. That if there were a God, this would be something really good about him. But they don't understand or believe that God is out there to be understood. Rather, they think, well, we have communities, and it'd be really nice for us to formulate expressions about what we think would be good. But here we have an expression, "I didn't do it. I'm not making it up. It's not coming from me." No. It's what is making me. It is what is forming me. It is what is making me the person that I am becoming in Christ through His Spirit. And in case there's any confusion here, it is the very truth of God. And it's not anything that we made. So this is a crucial part of studying a creed. Is it a creed that's sitting on a shelf, maybe on the wall? Is it over there somewhere? Or is this something that is making me? And so as we concluded our study of the Apostles' Creed and the doctrinal statements of CEMC and J, that was a crucial question for us. Does this make us? Does this form us? And notice, it's very important, this is the continuing progressive tense. It isn't what made us once upon a time, and now I'm completely formed. At least, that is not any doctrine which I believe is consistent with Christian living. We are dependent on God each and every day. And if we think that we can sort of leave Him behind, I think this is an opportunity to see how hard we can fall on our faces. Because that's where we will end up. And so I hope that not just with the Apostles' Creed, but with our study of Scripture in general, that we will make that step. Not that we're studying some really nice literature that we'd like to think about or maybe use as material to improve upon. No, not at all. It's what makes us. It's what creates us. It's brings us to be the people that God created us to be. Okay, following the Apostles' Creed, we turn to this project, which a number of you will be very familiar with, and that is Project SHG, Seeking the Heart of God. Something we sang about today, seeking and knowing the heart of God. Because this is what God created us for, to be in fellowship with Him, to know Him. And it's an amazing thing. It's hard to imagine. Why would God want to know us? But He truly did and does and wants to in ways that are just beyond our thinking. The fact that He would send His Son to reach out to us in this extraordinary way tells us that this is what God, in some sense, as far as we're concerned, this is what God's about, knowing us and us knowing Him. And so in this project, we looked at how first, before Easter, how Jesus prepared His disciples in that final week before Easter, how He got them ready for what was going to be an extraordinarily dramatic event, and indeed, to their thinking, tragic event in their lives. At that point, most of them didn't really have an understanding of what Jesus was doing, and they certainly were looking for something like an armed rebellion or some kind of political revolution. And although He had said the words, it's pretty clear they weren't ready for a crucifixion. I personally benefited tremendously from this study in looking closely at what Jesus had to say to His disciples, where He was leading him, how much patience He had in bringing them to an understanding or towards an understanding of what His purpose was. Also greatly benefited from hearing from many of you and getting your understandings and taking those in. And this is an important part of what it means to be in a fellowship. We share with one another. We help one another grow. We just become enriched from being part of a fellowship of believers. And I guess I should back up. When I was here on Friday night during the coffee house, I have to confess the following. I was thinking, okay, there's some group of people here who are half my age. There's some here who are a third of my age. There's some here who are a quarter of my age. And you know what? God put each one of us into whatever age group or categories that we're in for a purpose. And you can speak to those who are twice your age, three times your age, four times your age, or across the world, or younger than you. And God puts you here for that purpose. And so I'd really like to commend those of you who participated, particularly on Friday. I heard much in service to the gospel. I heard many authentic expressions of the love of Christ that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after Easter, we followed how Christ interacted with His disciples, the risen Christ. How again, He's still guiding His disciples, because they're still taking a little while to take it in. And we shouldn't be surprised. It's really all of history pivoted at that point. And that it took the disciples a little while to take that in shouldn't surprise us at all. And we should too benefit from that, the teaching which Jesus gave to help them understand what their mission really was. It wasn't to form a military force. It wasn't just to set up communities. But there was a mission. And I think we normally understand that mission with one of the first words in the Great Commission, which was, go. We have something to do. We have a mission. There are more words than just go, but that's how you get started. You go. And in reading those passages of how Jesus dealt with his disciples, we came to understand that God has put us on this earth. He's put us in East Brunswick, New Jersey, although some of us will live in different places in the state. We'll work in different places. We'll go to school in different places. A number of us go to school out of state. And I know often we think those are choices that we made, that we decided we would do this or we would do that. And certainly God gives us certain choices. But he's also given us a purpose in those choices. And he's put us where we are for a reason we may not understand. We may not understand for years. Who knows, we may not understand until we reach heaven. But God has asked us to be about the business of fulfilling his purposes wherever he may have put us. And now we come to the passage. I should say one more thing. So this period concluded, in some sense, this last Sunday. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, which represents the Holy Spirit coming to the church to empower the church to fulfill the commission that it's been given. And I think this is extraordinarily important that we remember this, that whatever our commission, whatever our mission, whatever our purposes, we're not going to be able to do it on our own. If we're not cooperating with God, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, fall flat on our faces. I guess the term is face plant. It's not going to work. And so this is why remembering Pentecost Sunday is so vitally important, because it plays a role every day in our lives. And if we don't go out into the world with God, with the presence of God in our lives, it really doesn't matter how well we understand our mission or how well trained we are to fulfill our mission. We're going to fail. The scripture reading for today is from John chapter 15, verse 18, starting in verse 18. And Jesus is really pointing out what should be obvious to us in some sense, but which also merits our meditation a little bit. He says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. And he goes on to remind us that, remember the words I have spoken to you, no servant is greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. I'm getting, I think I've gone beyond the the scripture reading for today. I do remember I tried to shorten this as much as possible for the sake of clarity. So Jesus' message is really very simple, that there are truths which the world does not want to accept, which the world simply wants to have nothing to do with. And because of that, the world hated him, and the world will in very real ways hate us as well. So this reflects the fact that there are challenges before us, very significant challenges of many different kinds. And again, as a reminder, why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives every step of the way. For almost 2 years, the state of New Jersey has licensed marriage between same-sex couples. This idea of marriage is in sharp contrast to that found in Scripture and proclaimed by Jesus. I think our next slide. In Matthew 19, 4 through 6, Jesus is answering a question about divorce. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" Jesus makes it clear that God has marriage in mind when he created us as male and female. Of course, a non-believer cannot accept that God created us, and certainly not that we should understand his purposes in creating us. So we should not be surprised that the world would recreate a concept such as marriage in a manner inconsistent with God's intentions. Indeed, we should expect it. The access of same-sex couples to marriage is merely the latest in a long line of changes to God's formulation of marriage. Take note of the now familiar concept of no-fault divorce, which obviously shows little concern for separating what God has joined together. Nor should we imagine that same-sex marriage will be the last innovation in marriage that the world adopts. How should we respond to the world's disregard, indeed, active hostility towards the intentions of God? I think we begin by remembering God's response. We can have the next slide. This will be familiar to you to the point of me not needing to put up a slide. "But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And from Romans chapter 5, and next slide, please. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's response to the sin of the world, God's response to our sin, was to craft an unbelievably complex and ultimately costly to God plan to redeem, to buy back, to bring us back, to make us again his people. And I think we need to stand in faith that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how corrupt our language, our law, our society becomes, God has the answers. In the Church of Jesus Christ, that holy Catholic Church referenced in the Apostles' Creed, is in the business of delivering God's answer. We are God's agents of love and grace. And as agents of love and grace, we are still agents of truth. And we are not agents of cheap grace. We will encounter difficult problems. For example, how do we speak the truth in love to a brother who God calls out of a same-sex marriage with adopted children? Easy? I don't think so. But let us remember that Jesus says to us, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. With the Spirit of Christ living within us, we can be confident that He will fulfill His purposes through us. Thank you.